Friends, the first thing that I must make clear this evening is that the particular topic on which I'm going to speak this evening, that is to say, evolution or extinction, current world problems, a Buddhist view, was not originally chosen by me. Some weeks ago, some friends of mine in another place, in another city in fact, suggested that I should speak on this topic. And when I thought it over, when I turned it over in my mind, I realized that in a way I was quite glad to have an opportunity of speaking on this topic. As most of you, I think, know, it's not the sort of subject on which I usually speak. In fact, I can go so far as to say that, to the best of my recollection, I have not yet spoken, that is to say, not spoken in public, on this sort of topic before. As nearly all of you know, most of the talks, most of the lectures which we've had in the course of the last 5 years or so, under the auspices of the FWBO, have dealt in one way or another with more or less Buddhistic themes, more or less traditional themes, spiritual themes, for want of a better word, or have dealt with some aspect of the Buddhist tradition in relation to some aspect of modern life, thought, experience, and so on. For instance, as many of you again know, we've had a whole course of lectures on the Noble Eightfold Path. We've had a whole course on the Bodhisattva ideal. We've also had, say, talks, lectures on the relationship between Buddhism on the one hand and, say, certain aspects of Western philosophy and psychology and art and psychoanalysis on the other. But at the same time, despite this difference, despite this, as it were, new departure, I can say that there is a sort of connection. There is a connection between my giving this talk this evening on this sort of subject, on the subject of current world problems, and my preoccupations in other talks, other lectures, more directly with Buddhism, with different aspects of the spiritual path. Because I can say, in a very general way, that the giving of lectures at all on Buddhism, whether it's on the Eightfold Path, or whether it's on the Bodhisattva ideal, or whether it's on Tibetan Buddhism, or whether it's on symbolism, all this is part and parcel of my own life and my own work as a Buddhist. And I may say that I live this life, this Buddhist life, or try to live this Buddhist life, and engage in this sort of work, including the giving of lectures, partly at least on account of the view which I take of modern world problems or current world problems. So therefore, in speaking tonight on this question, speaking tonight on this subject of current world problems from a Buddhist point of view, I'm not in fact dealing with something which is to me of, as it were, academic or peripheral interest, or even a just general interest. In a sense, I'm trying to make clear, right, through this lecture, through the consideration of this topic, this sort of raison d'etre of my own existence, as it were, as a practical working Buddhist. Not just a Buddhist inwardly in faith and conviction, but so far as outward activities also are concerned. So for me, therefore, in view of these considerations, this lecture tonight on this sort of subject represents a sort of, almost, one may say, autobiography, at least philosophical autobiography. It constitutes a sort of confession of faith, because it shows, or will show, I hope, where I stand, and perhaps to some extent why I stand at what I do. And I hope this will become clear to some extent as I proceed. Now, when originally it was suggested to me by my friends in that other city that I should speak on a subject of this sort, as I started turning it all over in my mind went back a number of years, went back to a quite different place, went back to a different country, even to a different continent, went back to India. And in India, as I think nearly everybody knows, I spent quite a number of years, practically 20 years, and in the course of those years which I spent in India, I had the opportunity, I might even say I was under the obligation, of attending a large number of public meetings. Indians, if I may say so, have a positive weakness for public meetings. Large public meetings, the more speakers, the better. If you have 15 or 20 speakers, well, that shows your meeting is really successful. And if each one speaks for at least an hour, wonderful. Everybody's very pleased. It's a very good, a very successful meeting. And sometimes, I'm so fond, in fact, of Indians of these long speeches that sometimes, as I've stood up to speak, someone has whispered behind me, "You must speak at least for 2 hours." This is how generous they are with their time and with your time also in India. So attending in this way all these meetings, many of them open air meetings, you know, held late at night under a sort of glare of arc lighting. Many of these meetings which I attended were distinguished by lots and lots of speeches. And I remember that at these sort of meetings, one of the favourite topics of speakers, that is, say, Buddhist speakers especially, or people speaking on Buddhism, was Buddhism and world peace. You go along to any sort of Buddhist meeting, especially large public meeting in India, sooner or later, someone's going to speak about Buddhism and world peace. And these lectures, these talks or speeches on Buddhism and world peace, would practically always follow a standard pattern, whoever was speaking. First of all, the speaker would give a very vivid, a very graphic description of the terrible plight of mankind nowadays. He'd dwell upon all the flood, fire, havoc of various kinds, wars, pestilence, examples of human selfishness. And of course he'd bring in, you know, the general prevalence of violence, deterioration of moral values, young people no longer interested in religion, etc., etc. He'd paint a very black and gloomy picture indeed. And say we were on the brink of a Holocaust, etc., etc. And then, of course, when everything really seemed black and no solution, he'd bring in Buddhism. And he'd say, well, Buddhism, you know, teaches non-violence, it teaches peace, it teaches love, it teaches compassion, it teaches all these wonderful and beautiful things. So, if everybody in the world just followed Buddhism, that's all they have to do, then, of course, there would be world peace. And all our problems would be solved automatically. And at this point, of course, everyone in the audience would burst into spontaneous applause. They'd think how wonderful this was, and you know, what a wonderful thing he'd said. And he'd sit down beaming with satisfaction, you know, having said all this. Everybody would be happy. And, of course, the world would go on just as before. So I'm not going to follow this line tonight. I'm not going to paint a picture of all these dreadful world problems, current world problems, and then say, well, look, let's all follow Buddhism and it'll all be beautiful. It's not that this particular line is untrue. It's not that. Of course, we know if everybody in the world followed Buddhism, if everybody followed the Noble Eightfold Path, if everybody sat down and meditated every day, if everybody practiced the four Brahma Viharas and tried to be affectionate and kind and joyful and peaceful, well, of course, we wouldn't just have peace, we'd have heaven on earth. We know that. But it represents really far too much of a simplification. It's an oversimplification. You simplify the problem, you simplify the solution. In the abstract, it's beautiful. But in practice, nothing seems to happen. Not only that, one brings in Buddhism, but why bring in only Buddhism? You could say, if everybody in the world followed, for instance, Jainism. Jainism is even stricter about non-violence, etc., than Buddhism itself is. Or suppose you followed certain forms of Hinduism or Taoism. If everybody followed any of those, you still have world peace. You don't even necessarily have to bring Buddhism in. Oh, you might say you don't even have to bring religion in. Suppose everybody was a humanist. Suppose everyone followed Plato or Socrates, or even Bertrand Russell. You'd have world peace on the spot. So religion even here has no monopoly. So this is not the sort of approach, this sort of oversimplified approach, this is not the sort of approach that I'm going to try to make this evening. I should perhaps also make it clear that what I shall be giving is a Buddhist view of current world problems. I'm not professing to give or trying to give the Buddhist view, because we may say there isn't a the Buddhist view. There's no sort of official Buddhist party line in this or any other matter. So I'll be speaking just as an individual, just as myself. Though I am, of course, speaking as an individual who has been, in the course of the last 30 years, quite, I hope, deeply influenced by Buddhist teaching.